I think to start things off today, I have to talk about Bill Cosby. I talked about this Monday when I was filling in for Carney. There have been more developments since then. Just about 2 hours ago, NBC announced that they are not going to go forward with the sitcom they were planning on doing with Cosby next year, which at 77 was going to have him play a grandfather of a family, and as the patriarch of that family, I guess dispensing wisdom, you know, kind of Cliff Huxtable-like, although he's beyond Cliff Huxtable a lot. He also, this summer, on his 77th birthday, recorded a one of his stand-up concerts for Netflix, and they were going to release that on the day after Thanksgiving, next Friday. And they announced yesterday that they are postponing the launch of Bill Cosby 77. It's not from 1977. It's because it was on his 77th birthday. And in the statement from Netflix, it said, Cosby agrees with the move, like he would have had a choice.
Right.
And when I mentioned this on Monday, you know, once businesses start backing away from you, that's the worst thing that can happen to anybody's career in entertainment. Once they don't want to be affiliated with you anymore, that's the beginning of the end. Cosby did two of his concert appearances this weekend, not here in St. Louis, and there were no incidents. But I would be willing to bet that as he goes forward with his concert schedule, even though those people have all bought their tickets in advance and they're all going to be Cosby fans, I will not be surprised when there are protests outside of the venue where he's performing. Or even some people get inside. They get tickets, StubHub or somewhere else. They get inside there and they interrupt his performance and make noise about it. And once that starts happening, well, now the concert promoters and the venues are going to say, we don't need this. And it's a real stunning change of events for a guy who, you know, he was America's dad. There was a time when he was one of the three most trusted people in America. And he's beloved. And has been for a long time, and he's had a remarkable career. And by the way, this is not going to be all about Cosby, because I want to talk about the women who are involved in just a second. But if you don't know about Bill Cosby's career, he started out as a stand-up comedian and one of the best stand-up comedians of the 1960s. He's been doing it that long. And then he was the first male star of a network television drama when he co-starred with Robert Culp on a late 60s show called I Spy. And after that, he had his own sitcom on CBS called The Bill Cosby Show. That ran for several years. And then he made some movies, Uptown Saturday Night and some others. He made one of the worst movies of all time called Leonard Part 6.
Oh, Ghost Dad?
Ghost Dad would be up there as well. He was not able to transfer his small screen success to the big screen. But then in the 80s, revolutionized the sitcom again when he introduced The Cosby Show, which ran for years on NBC and helped develop must-see Thursdays, must-see TV. It was the lead-off to a night that included, well, at one point, I guess it was Cosby, and then Family Ties, and then Cheers, and then Night Court, and then later Seinfeld. I think Hill Street Blues was on for a while in there. L.A. Law may have been the follow-up at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, what was that
o'clock.
About Thursdays? Thursdays were... Oh.
Brandon Tartikoff, the head of NBC, rode that Cosby train because Cosby started off the evening at 7 o'clock mm-hmm. with this hugely successful show, one of the most successful television shows in history. At one point, 50% of the people who were watching TV at 7 o'clock on Thursdays were watching The Cosby Show. That's an amazing number. Of course, it was a different era when we didn't have nearly as many channels, but still, that's Super Bowl-like numbers. So, and then after that, he continued to do a couple of other sitcoms, none of which came anywhere close to that, but he continued to do his stand-up performances, and he has continued to go out and do stand-up shows all around the country, including here in St. Louis. Now, I mentioned the ones here in St. Louis because on Sunday, Cosby's attorney, John Schmidt, posted a statement on Cosby's website, and this has since been taken down and kind of reworded. But what John Schmidt, the attorney, wrote on Cosby's website was, over the last several weeks, decades-old discredited allegations against Mr. Cosby have resurfaced. The fact that they're being repeated does not make them true. Mr. Cosby does not intend to dignify these allegations with any comment. He'd like to thank all his fans for the outpouring of support and assure them that at age 77, he's doing his best work. And that we're not going to have anything more to say on this. First of all, he's not doing his best work. My wife and I have seen Cosby two or three times at the Fox. Always sells out the place, which is amazing for a 4,000-seat theater, for a comedian to sell it out by himself. No opening act, nothing. That's how powerful a draw he still is. But I will tell you that when we saw him there just a few months ago, the show wasn't that good. He wasn't that funny, and his timing was off, and it was almost like we were witnessing the beginning of the end. I don't think all of this stuff was necessarily weighing on him, although one of the women who has come out in the last week to repeat her accusations against him, Barbara Bowman, she had written a piece in Newsweek about 6 months ago about Bill Cosby raping her, and it got very little attention. And then a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, a comedian named Hannibal Buress was caught on videotape when he was performing at a club and talking about Bill Cosby and how, you know, Bill Cosby talks to me and other comedians and says, you don't need to curse on stage, you don't need to be blue on stage, blah, 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 blah. And he says, well, Bill, we should really listen to you. After all, you are a rapist. I mean, he used that word over and over again on stage. Well, somebody caught it on their phone and it posted it online, and that video went viral. And so that kind of started things up again. And then Barbara Bowman wrote an op-ed piece that was published a week ago tomorrow, or today rather, in the Washington Post, in which she talked about these allegations about what he had done to her all those years ago. And let's just talk about her for a second here. The allegations that she's making are that he raped her 30 years ago. The statute of limitations has long run out on that crime, if it in fact took place. She never sued Cosby. She never was able to get Cosby prosecuted for what he allegedly did to her. And in recent interviews, she's told several people, look, I don't want to be seen as a victim now. I'm not doing this to get revenge. I'm not doing this to push myself out there as a victim. She sees herself more as a victim's advocate to tell other women, don't do what I do and keep the story buried. Which raises a few questions for me. One of which is, why would she lie? She can't sue Cosby. She can't take him to civil court because it happened 30 years ago. She can't have him prosecuted for it. The statute of limitations has run out. If you say, well, she's obviously doing it to get attention, what woman would want that kind of attention? To say, I've been raped. And
By somebody that famous. Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that she is telling the truth. I'm just asking, why would she lie? Why would some of the other women who were making accusations against him as long as a decade ago, why would a dozen of them all lie and all tell the same lie? Now, I heard somebody over the weekend talking about this, and they said, well, it's just like Woody Allen. It's he said, she said. Woody Allen and Bill Cosby are both icons who became famous in the 60s and had enormous success, and both had sexual scandals that have followed them. But in Woody Allen's case, we're talking about one alleged victim, the daughter, the adopted daughter of Woody Allen's then girlfriend, Mia Farrow, who made these accusations. To my knowledge, nobody else has come forward and said Woody Allen molested me. There have not been sexual assault allegations by anybody else against them. I may be wrong on that, but I haven't heard them. In Bill Cosby's case, you've got a pattern now of more than a dozen women who have said this about him, including Janice Dickinson, who was a Price is Right model and hosted, what, Top Model? And,
yes, I think so.
She's done some other
reality shows.
And she was on Entertainment Tonight last night. And listen to what she had to say.
In 1982, I was on a job in Bali, in Indonesia. And he called, and the conversation was, the best of my recollection, you need to get to Lake Tahoe because I'll be performing there, and I want to offer you that job we talked about, as well as helping you with a singing career I hear you're trying to do. When I arrived in Lake Tahoe, Bill was performing at the venue, and then after dinner, in my room, he had given me wine and a pill. The next morning, I woke up, and I wasn't wearing my pajamas, and I remember before I passed out that I had been sexually assaulted by this man.
You took the pill. You drank the alcohol.
Red wine.
Red wine. And then what happened?
Before I woke up in the morning, the last thing I remember was Bill Cosby in a patchwork robe, dropping his robe and getting on top of me.
Did you ever confront him about what you thought might have happened?
No.
Did he ever say anything to you about what might have happened?
No.
So you come forward now to talk about this again. Does it?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. It's because it's the right thing to do, and it happened to me, and this is the true story.
So that's Janice Dickinson last night on Entertainment Tonight, the latest to come forward, and certainly the highest profile person to come forward, because these other women, we'd never heard their names before. They were not public figures as Dickinson is, because of her work on television through the years. There's another woman by the name of Joan Tarsius who says that she was assaulted by Bill Cosby in 1969, and she's come forward to tell her story as well. And there's a woman by the name of Andrea Constand who says she was a young Temple University employee when she went to Cosby for career advice in 2004. 1969, 2004, Janice Dickinson, 1982. And this Andrea Constant tells the same story of pills and grogginess. She actually did go to a Pennsylvania DA by the name of Bruce Castor and told him her story. But he declined to press charges. And he was asked, well, why didn't you arrest Bill Cosby? Why didn't you charge him with rape? And he says, quote, I didn't say that he didn't commit the crime. What I said then was that there's insufficient, admissible, and reliable evidence upon which to base a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt. That's prosecutor speak for, I think he did it, but there's just not enough here to prosecute. You know, there's an old thing in the law that says it's not a matter of what we think, it's what can we prove. And I guess they felt they couldn't prove it. Castor even said, I had every incentive to go forward. This would have been a career-making front-page news story for me, after all. But it was too long after the alleged event. And she said, you lose the ability to test for blood or intoxicating agents. But he said he thought Cosby probably did something inappropriate. But thinking that and being able to prove it are two different things. So he wasn't able to do anything on behalf of Andrea Constant. So, again, I don't know whether these women are telling the truth and whether these things actually happened. But there's a pretty devastating pattern here, isn't there?
Yes.
And it's pretty hard to hear because Bill Cosby is, you know, and has been for so long, so beloved.
And he did, he had a couple of callers that called in and said Fat Albert on Saturday morning.
Right, another one of his hits, yeah. Absolutely. So, like I said, I don't want to make this all about Bill Cosby, because these women, if these allegations are true, then they've had to live with this horrible crime being committed upon them, a crime not of sex, but of power and violence. They've had to live with it for 10 years, 25 years, 30, 45 years. If you go back to 1969, that's 45 years ago. One of these women has to live with this and hear the other allegations. And that woman, Andrea Constand, and some others were all going to testify on behalf of a woman who actually did settle with Bill Cosby. 10 of them were going to testify, which is probably why he agreed to settle the case. Now, remember, during the Michael Jackson years when we found out that Michael Jackson had settled with one of his accusers?
Yes.
Didn't we all agree, well, he wouldn't settle that if he hadn't done something?
Yes, right.
Exactly.
Can we say the same thing about Bill Cosby?
I would think so. Why would you try and be, it's almost like blackmailing him or something like that. Why would you put yourself through that and say, okay, here, just shut up. Here, take $4 million. Take $10 million.
Whatever the number is.
Yeah. And just be quiet and get out of the way because.
But if the allegations are true, then Cosby is just another rich, powerful celebrity who used his position and his opportunity to take advantage of mostly young women. Vulnerable women whose claims were ignored or buried by authorities who didn't believe that Bill Cosby could ever do something that bad. And by the way, in every one of these stories, booze and pills comes into play, you know, or they were drugged. And I will tell you, as a father of a 20-year-old woman, and Dan, I don't know if you've had this talk with your daughter, but I had this talk with my daughter before she went away to college. And that is, there are bad guys in the world.
Yep.
And there are times you're going to be out somewhere and you're going to be drinking something, whether it's a non-alcoholic beverage or an alcoholic one. Keep your hand over that glass.
I've told my daughter that, especially when she started going to parties.
In high school, right?
Yeah, in high school. Yeah. I started going to parties in high school because, you know, I remember what it was like when I was in high school.
Yep.
And I know there was going to be alcohol there. Someone was going to bring some alcohol in or some any kind of drink. But like you said, anything. They could be sitting there drinking a soda. Just keep an eye on your glass. Do not let it out of your sight. Yeah. And you, like you said, keep your hand over the
Somebody
top.
Puts a roofie in there. The next thing you know, you're waking up the next morning.
Yeah.
And your life has changed.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're a father or a brother or a husband of somebody, and you hear these stories about Bill Cosby doing this sort of stuff, allegedly, I have to keep saying that because my lawyer is listening today. Thank you. that should kind of make the hair on the back of your neck stand up because that could be your daughter, your sister, your cousin, whoever. Especially if we go back to a comedy routine that Bill Cosby did on one of his albums in the 60s. He had an album called It's True, It's True. Had nothing to do with this case.
Yeah.
But he did a bit about Spanish Fly. And at the time, as you'll hear, the audience laughed because it was, oh, it was funny. It was a funny subject. Tell me if this doesn't make you feel a little creepy as you listen to him now in retrospect.
When I was 13, man, start talking about weird things. No, really, stand on the corner. You know anything about Spanish Fly? What? Spanish Fly. It always happens when you're 13. Only when you're 13 on up to, like, when you get married. Guys stand around and talk about Spanish Fly, and it never starts with one of the guys on the corner. It's always some strange 13-year-old that says, you know what? You know anything about Spanish Fly? No, tell me about it. Well, there's this girl, Crazy Mary. You put some in her drink, man. She, yeah, Spanish, oh, yeah, that's really groovy, man. Spanish Fly is groovy, yeah, boy. From then on, man, anytime you see a girl, well, she has no Spanish Fly, boy. Go to a party, see five girls standing alone. Boy, if I had a whole jug of Spanish Fly, I'd light that corner up over there. So I thought it only existed in Philadelphia, you know, and I'm working on I Spy, and Bob and I are working together. Sheldon Leonard comes up, says, boys, I Spy is going to Spain. A childhood dream come true. I said to Bob, you know, because he don't know nothing about it. I said, hey, Bob, you know what I'm going to pick up when I'm in Spain? He said, Spanish Fly. I said, wait a minute, man. How'd you know about it? He said, are you kidding? There's a girl in my neighborhood in Berkeley named Crazy Mary. We gave her some trouble. And every time he told me a story, I had heard it. Every time I told him a story, he had heard it. We all knew the same story. So I figured there's got to be a guy about 2,000 years old that looks 13 going around the world. You guys know anything about Spanish Fly? So Bob and I, man, we're just singing. Gonna get some Spanish fries, Spanish fries, love it, love it. And we're riding on the plane, Spanish fries, Spanish fries. And we're getting to go through customs. This is the land of Spanish fries. Spanish fries. We get in the cab, Ryan and the driver. Bob's asked this guy if he knows where we can get some Spanish fries. I said, you know, ask the cab driver. No, ask the cab driver. He may know, man. Driver, stays in your arm. Listen, you Spanish? Si, senor, you American?
Yes.
You come from America?
Yes.
You could tell me maybe you brought with you some American fly?
That's Bill Cosby in the 60s doing that routine. Now, there are two things about that. One, in listening to that, you realize this guy was a great stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to do a story. He knew how to do pacing. He knew how to do voices, all of that. I mean, that's a really well-told story. But it's so creepy to listen to it now.
Yes, it is.
Can you imagine if a contemporary comedian did that bit? Oh, yeah, I had this drug that you can give to women and then rape them.
But he kept talking about when he was 13. When they were 13, that's when they found out about Spanish Fly.
Right.
But now he's older, and he's with
older,
Robert
Culp.
He's
an adult on a TV show.
He's with Robert Culp, and he's going to look for Spanish Fly.
Yeah.
How true.
And by the way, are you telling me that Bill Cosby and Robert Culp, the stars of I Spy, couldn't get laid without drugs?
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy that at all.
Yeah.
I know I'm desperately late here. We got to take a break. But when we come back, I also want to talk about Don Lemon last night on CNN with one of Cosby's accusers asking her a question that also a little bit creepy. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
How can I explain when there are few words I can choose?
This is the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris filling in for Frank today and tomorrow. And, of course, my regular Friday opportunity here on the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Ian and Dan are here with me as well. The last segment was a long discussion of Bill Cosby and the trouble he finds himself in. NBC withdrew their plans to do a sitcom with him for next year. I just read during the break that there wasn't even a script for this thing. So I don't know how far along in the process it was. I think it was kind of like, yeah, we're planning on hoping to want to maybe, perhaps, if we can, work it out. We'd like to do something. And then today was kind of like, we're definitely not doing something with Bill Cosby. Netflix has withdrawn the Bill Cosby 77th birthday stand-up special that was going to be available for streaming on the day after Thanksgiving. And I think you're going to hear a lot of people continuing to pull away from Bill Cosby. Last night, Don Lemon was anchoring on CNN, and he had a woman on there by the name of Joan Tarsius, who says she was 19 years old when she was allegedly drugged and raped by Bill Cosby. She actually was on with Don Lemon on Monday night, and last night was on to talk about other allegations that had come out against Cosby. And at one point, I just want to play for you a little part of the conversation between Don Lemon and this woman, Joan Tarsius.
Can I ask you this? Because mm-hmm. And please, I don't mean to be crude, okay?
Yeah.
Because I know some of you, and you said this last night, that you lied to him and said, I have an infection.
Mm-hmm.
And if you rape me, or if you have intercourse mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. me, then you will probably get it and give it to your wife.
Right.
And you said he made you perform oral sex.
Right.
You know, there are ways not to perform oral sex if you don't want to do it.
I was kind of stoned at the time, mm-hmm. and quite honestly, that didn't even enter my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I wish it would have.
Right.
But
meaning the using of the teeth,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, that's what I'm
as a
thinking.
Weapon,
you're, yeah, I didn't even think of it.
Biting. So,
ouch.
Yes. I had to ask.
It didn't cross my mind.
Well, after that aired last night, there was a lot of backlash against Don Lemon, essentially saying, oh, you know, people saying that Don was saying to this woman, Joan Tarsus, you know, why didn't you fight back? Why didn't you bite back?
It's almost your fault that.
Yeah. And so there's a whole meme on Twitter today. Don Lemon to Rosa Parks. So you couldn't have caught a cab instead? Did you ever consider washing your hands more often? Don Lemon to Ebola patients. I've heard that if you poke a shark in the eye, you'll deter an attack. How much difference is a shark from a rapist? Don Lemon reporting. You know, if President Kennedy had put the top up, he might not have gotten shot. I'm just saying.
Hey,
Don Lemon reporting.
You know what? That's a good point.
Why didn't JFK just duck? Didn't even realize he could have just ducked? Don Lemon reporting. And here's my favorite. Why didn't the Earth just move instead of getting hit by a meteorite and making the dinosaurs extinct? Don Lemon reporting. So, as you may know, Don is a regular guest on Martin Kilcoyne's show here on KTRS every Wednesday. Today's Wednesday. Don was on with Martin Kilcoyne and Randy Naughton today. And to their credit, the very first thing they talked about was the question that he asked and the feedback that he's gotten.
That's good. I mean, I'm a journalist. I'm supposed to ask questions. Do you want me not to ask questions? I'm supposed to ask questions, but I don't, if you're asking me if I think there's something wrong with it, no, I don't. And because someone on the internet or people on the internet are, tomorrow it'll be something else. I don't think about that in when I'm doing my job. I'm paid to ask questions. That's what I do.
But let me follow that up with you precluded that question with some people last night said they just don't believe you. Based on that particular question that we are referring to, some could construe that as along the same lines. Well, why didn't you fend him off?
If that, well, if they want to construe that, then that's their business.
And after the interview, was she cool with it?
Did you hear her in the interview? We went on for 5 minutes after that. She's coming back tonight.
So apparently she wasn't all that upset with him. But people certainly went a little bit crazy about it and continued to. And he's getting a lot of backlash, which he says he doesn't listen to. And if there is discussion of it, well, that's fine.
And if there are people that are upset with that, they think she should be upset with it. And if she was not upset with it, then you just have to let it go. Because if there's so many people out there now that want to think for you, and you should have been angry about that question.
Yeah.
And if she wasn't, then let it go.
Yeah. Speaking of internet backlash, there's another part of this that's really ugly, and that is the way people are blaming the victims in what can only be described as slut shaming. Not that these women are sluts, but that's the term that's used to describe, well, you were asking for it. Why were you in Bill Cosby's dressing room in the first place? You know, somebody posted today, Janice Dickinson had just gotten out of rehab. Why was she accepting wine of any kind from Bill Cosby? And, you know, essentially blaming these various women for putting them in a place where this sort of thing could happen to them. And that is just low and horrible. And like I was saying before, I would ask the same question to them that I asked earlier in the show, which is, imagine these were your daughters when they were 19 years old. Because that's how old this woman, Joan Tarsus, was when she says she was raped by Bill Cosby. And the others who were either in their late teens or early 20s at the time. Imagine that that's your daughter. Imagine that that's your sister. Imagine that that was your wife who's had to live with that for all those years. Would you ever say that to them? Blame them for what happened to them if it happened to them? 357 at the Big 550 KTRS.